views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Good evening and welcome to Tando Radio Show on this Wednesday afternoon. Of course, with it being Wednesday, it's Wise Wednesday, and we got Brother Davis in the queue. Brother Davis not with us, for those expecting to hear Brother Dave's voice, as he is the host of Tando Radio Show. As he stated last week, he would not be on air this week as he handles some of his business and he's out traveling. So today we will have a program because, as I just stated, it's Wise Wednesday and we got Brother Davis in queue. Before we get started, please, it's important to support independent black media, because if black people don't support independent black media, then it won't get supported. And if it finds outside support, it will cease to be independent black media. And so please consider making a donation, a financial contribution to the U.S.-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. I know last night on BTR News, I did a program talking about the death of black media. You got Oprah Winfrey and sold off her majority stake in the OWN network, even though she never owned it 100%. Talked about TV One, which is owned by Kathy Hughes, and that radio station TV station, TV One, eliminating its only news program on the channel. And that's just sad. So Roland Martin, News One with Roland Martin, will no longer be on air. And for folks that's looking to blame somebody, not saying that I was a fan of that program, but I have to acknowledge that he did provide some information pertaining to black people and dissecting it or looking at it through the lens of racism, some of these issues and how they impact us. He was one of the few who did bring that to so-called mainstream programming. So regardless of how you felt about Roland Martin, you cannot deny that there was some value. Not going to say a whole lot, but there was some value to his program. But if we're looking to blame somebody why he's losing his program, well, it's because there was no black eyeballs on that TV set. Now, that may be a good thing, because I don't watch a lot of television or whatnot, but millions of people still do get their information from the cable, from that television. And weren't enough tuning into his program in order for him to survive the ratings war as the radio station. I guess it's because I worked so long in digital radio, but the TV station said it just couldn't simply afford to keep him on. They couldn't afford that programming. So now you're just going to be left with a whole bunch of reruns of Sanford and Son, The Cosby Show, and A Different World. You know, those old situational comedies that would target black people. All right, so it's important that we support independent black media. Hey, you don't like Black Talk Radio Network? I can't imagine why you're listening if you don't like it. But if you're, you know, if you don't want to donate to the Black Talk Media Project, which manages the Black Talk Radio Network and has for the past 9 years, then find some independent black media platform to support. There's Breaking Brown with Yvette Carnell. We got Bruce Dixon, as well as others who are on Black Agenda Report. And these platforms take donations. You know, Boyce Watkins had Your Black World for a while. He just sold that to a white venture capitalist. Okay, talking about they partnering up with each other. No different than what Oprah was doing with the Discovery Network. But again, black media, independent black media is scarce. It's a rarity. It's a dying breed. So don't wait till all of these platforms are gone and then ask the question why we don't have this and why we don't have that when we're not supporting that, which we do have right now. So please consider making a donation to Black Talk Media Project. That is a U.S.-based nonprofit. If you're interested in cryptocurrency, we have a contact form that's on today's broadcast page, as well as the Tando Radio Show profile on blacktalkradionetwork.com. Please contact Brother Dave if you're interested in the Coins for Change or just trying to get any kind of information on precious metals. As y'all know, he works with Prosperity Mint with that. So contact him via that form for those who know his number, as he gives his number out. I'm not going to give it out, but he does give his number out. Y'all can contact him that way if you already have his number. But if you use the email form that's on his profile on Black Talk Radio Network, that email will go straight to his email box. Again, as I stated, today is Wednesday. It is December the 13th, 2017. And we're just going to go over a couple of news items that was shared on btrcommunity.com. That's also community.blacktalkradionetwork.com. That is the social media platform that was set up with the donations from those who support the Black Talk Media Project. There is a one-time fee, although we would like people to make more than one contribution so we can continue our overall media operations. We are not kicking anyone out who cancels their subscription. So you can get a subscription now for just $24 a year. If you fall on financial hard times, which we all do from time to time, don't think that you're going to be booted out the community because you canceled your subscription after that initial $24 donation. Again, we are not in this for profit. We are in this for our people. So we are a nonprofit, but our operations do cost money. So, but just wanted to put that out there. So let me just quickly go over a couple of things that caught my eye that are posted to community.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Also, don't forget, we have more live programming for you tonight. New Abolitionist Radio coming up at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, which then will be followed by Mind, Body, and Spirit at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So Wednesday is always a busy day on the network. All right, so I want to check out a couple of news items. I saw this earlier, and I posted it to community.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And there is an article that was published in progressive.org by James Jeffrey, and it's titled, "A Century Later, A Little-Known Mass Hanging of Black Soldiers Still Haunt Us." said, let me just open up this article and read just a little bit. We don't want to read the entire article, but we want to share some information with you. It says that 63 black soldiers were represented by one lawyer in the largest court martial in U.S. history. The first of three that followed the so-called Houston riot of 1917. In total, 110 men out of 118 were found guilty and 19 were sentenced to death by hanging. So again, this was the largest court martial in U.S. military history. This came back up. This story came back up because after Hurricane Harvey, and y'all know we've been talking about Hurricane Harvey, the ladies who host Mind, Body, and Spirit on Wednesday nights on the network were based in Houston, although they have relocated now to a different area of Texas. But we definitely was in tune with what was going on the ground as those ladies were actually running their own campaign to help people get straight there in Houston. But it says after Hurricane Harvey devastated Houston in September, recovery and cleanup workers discovered that vandals had smeared red paint over a historical marker at the one-time location of Camp Logan, recently rededicated to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Houston riot, and that's in quotations, of 1917. The paint covered the segment of the inscription that explained the history of the 3rd Battalion of the 24th United States Infantry. That's your Buffalo Soldiers there, a predominantly black unit assigned to guard the camp during its construction shortly after the United States entered World War I. Beneath the paint, the words read, "The Black Soldiers, August 23, 1917, armed revolt in response to Houston's Jim Crow laws and police harassment resulted in the camp's most publicized incident, the Houston Mutiny and Riot of 1917. So, you know, we have to be cognizant of the words that we use. So these are their words. I would not use words like riot and mutiny to describe what occurred. Now, it goes on to say, the Houston riot grew out of a confrontation between the soldiers and Houston City Police, at the end of which 16 white people were dead, including 5 police, with 4 soldiers also killed. It was one of the only riots in U.S. history in which more white people died than black people. At the resulting 3 court martials, the first of which was the largest one in U.S. military history, a total of 118 enlisted black soldiers were indicted, with 110 found guilty. Give me a second. Let me see. 19 black men were executed by hanging and 53 received life sentences. For a century, families of the executed soldiers have lived with the memories and loss. Relatives alive today grew up hearing their families talk about the soldiers' fates, which served as the catalyst to learn more and to work for justice to make amends. My family was upset when I started looking into it, admits Jason Holt, a relative of Private Hawkins, one of the soldiers hung. Holt has a 100-year-old letter written by Private Hawkins to his mother the night before his execution, telling her not to be upset about him taking his seat in heaven and of his innocence. They sent those soldiers into the most hostile environment imaginable, Charles Anderson, a relative of Sergeant William Nesbitt, one of the hung soldiers, told me over the phone. There was Jim Crow law, racist cops, racist civilians, laws against them being treated fairly in the streetcars, while the workers building Logan Camp hated the soldiers' presence. The riot was a problem created by community policing in a hostile environment. agrees Paul Matthews, founder of Houston's Buffalo Soldiers National Museum, which examines the role of African-American soldiers during U.S. military history. It's up to people now to decide whether there are lessons relevant to the present. And I would say most certainly they are. Where have we heard that term community policing from? That's just a politically correct word of saying slave patrols, okay? Slave catchers, all right? So certainly this is an article that is worth reading. It's about 5 pages long. Again, it was written by James Jeffrey on December the 8th of this year. That's my daughter's birthday, one of my daughter's birthday. And the title is A Century Later, A Little-Known Mass Hanging of Black Soldiers Still Haunt Us. Again, I posted that in btrcommunity.com and with the commentary that see the history that has been hidden from you. After saving the Union, this is how the U.S. Army repaid black soldiers for their service. The same thing with the Revolutionary War. Black soldiers came in and tipped the balance and won the war, and then are repaid with more slavery and white supremacist codes. Being black trumps your military service to an evil nation. And for those who have been knowing me through these airways for a while, y'all know that I served 6 years in the U.S. Army as a communications specialist. I participated as a young person in the Gulf War. That was the first war with Iraq. And I do not look back on that as being proud. I went in there. I don't look at that as something to be proud of. At that time is when I really started coming into political consciousness by reading Malcolm X's biography, which was written by him and Alex Haley. All right. And that just made me start questioning what was my role in the worldwide global system of slavery with white supremacist codes. What was my role? I was a foot soldier for white supremacy. You can call it capitalism, whatever word that you are comfortable with using, but let's be real. We were not spreading democracy, okay? We were not spreading democracy. And that is just a question that we need to be asking our children. Like I asked one of my daughters when she talked about joining the Air Force, and I told her the story about Private Lavina Johnson, who was raped, murdered, then body set on fire while she was serving in Iraq by a military contractor. You know, going back to 2008, even 2007, I did a bunch of interviews with her family members about that. And when my daughter said, hey, I'm thinking about joining the Air Force, I was like, well, have you ever heard of PFC Lavina Johnson? Okay, let me tell you about her. Let me tell you about how rape is rampant in the U.S. military. Let me tell you about what your role will be doing. Yes, we need help. We need money to go to college, but there are other ways that I wish I had found, okay, that I wish I had found before joining the military because I did not want to go into debt over college money. All right, next story. Now, let me say this. This isn't really a story. This is just commentary. All right, so I mentioned Breaking Brown earlier and Yvette Carnell. And listen, it's okay if we don't agree with each other 100%. That doesn't mean we got to fall out. We just got to work in the areas where we do agree. So over the past, 48 hours, she did a little video. It was only 15 minutes and I shared it through the Black Talk Radio Network as we do distribute videos now. So I took a look at that. And she admittedly doesn't know a lot about cryptocurrency. You know, she did, like most people, looked up a couple of articles and stuff, and she was focusing on how it started as a way, as money laundering, basically, you know, to where there is no record of the buyer or the seller. All right, there's a record of the transaction, but if they're using their crypto wallets, then nobody knows who's actually engaged in the transaction. And so, yeah, it kind of did start out that way, but she brings up the legitimate point about, do black people really have enough money or assets in order to take advantage of Bitcoin, Litecoin, or any of the other cryptocurrencies? And so that's legitimate. That's a legitimate point to raise. And so when I saw her talking about it on Facebook, I made the comment about, look, if you take that $500 that you were going to invest in Big Baller shoes and then instead invest $400 in Bitcoin with $100 left over for some reasonably priced shoes, take that $400, get some coins, watch it grow, but don't get too greedy. If your $400 becomes $800, take out your initial $400, and then you are playing with house money. So Antonio Moore, who has the YouTube channel Tone Talks, I think he also joined this white-owned platform, radio platform that was started by this white DJ, as he mentioned it. But he commented on Yvette Carnell's thread, and he was talking about risk. And that, this is too risky. And my comment to him was, there's risk involved in everything. There's risk in the stock market. Okay, we've seen people lose everything in the stock market when the stock market crashes, when those bubbles burst. Buying a home, black people took a risk in taking on that kind of debt when they bought homes in 2004. That was the highest percentage of black home ownership was 2004, just hovering around 50%. But that was a risk. Okay, because they got put into what? A lot of them got put into those subprime mortgages, those predatory loans. Then the housing market bubble burst. And a lot of black people did what? They lost that wealth that was tied up in home ownership. Everything is a risk. And like I told him, working a 9-to-5 job is a risk in some industries. Hell, you might go to work and then leave work with missing a couple of limbs, depending upon what industry you work in. I actually had an uncle, may he rest in peace, who had some fingers missing because he got caught up in a textile machine, and it sliced off one of his fingers. And so there's risk in everything. What we need to learn is how to mitigate the risk. So I do not agree with telling black people that we ain't got enough money or it's too risky, because we sure find money to spend on things like Big Baller $500 tennis shoes. I was reading about some new Jordans came out for $200. Okay. And then on Blacks in Business Radio last Thursday, we had Brother Robert 11X Miner investing $50 of Bitcoin right there on air within minutes. That was how easy it was for him to get $50 worth of Bitcoin. So probably after this weekend, he's probably already doubled that. I can't say that for sure, but he's probably already doubled his $50. He can take out his initial $50, leave that house money in there, because now you're playing with house money, and then sit and watch it grow. But paying attention to what the market is doing, and then jump out at the right time. All right. So there's risk involved in everything. And while a lot of our people do not have a lot of resources, let's not act like we dead broke and we ain't got $50 to invest in some Bitcoin when we got so many of us spending $500 on tennis shoes, hundreds of dollars on Gucci handbags and other shoes. Y'all know how we do. Y'all know how some of us do. All right. So yes, she brings up a valid point, but at the same time, you know, I felt like she wasn't considering everything. So, you know, I still support her. You know what I'm saying? I still support Yvette Carnell and Breaking Brown, all right? And again, agreement isn't necessary. We need these different perspectives so that we can ask the right questions, okay? Now, next story. Let me see. We're coming up on the half hour mark, and we will turn it over to Brother Davis, because today is Wise Wednesday. Again, for those that were expecting to hear Dave's voice, remember last week he told you that he will be off this week, but today is Wednesday, and Brother Davis will be doing the bulk of the show, so I decided that, yeah, ain't no reason for us not to do Wise Wednesday. Another story. Now, I hope this story is not true, but it looks like it might be true. This comes to you from Fox News. Report, Omarosa physically dragged from the White House grounds. It goes on to say there might be more to Omarosa's resignation than meets the eye after the White House announced Wednesday that the Apprentice star turned White House aide Omarosa Marigold Newman will lead the Trump administration. The Wall Street Journal reported that her departure was abrupt. Looks like somebody's trying to call me at the wrong time, so let me just go ahead and hang up on that. I'll call them back. The White House is trying to spin this like, hey, she found some other opportunities and she's resigned, but that appears not to be the case. And this actually, there had been some hints in the media that this was coming with that guy, I forget that racist dude name, who is the chief of staff right now. I'm not even going to open up Fox News to remember his name. His name just escapes me right now. But he had been said like he wanted to get rid of her. And so they're saying that late in the night, she was fired and they had to drag her. They had to get Secret Service to drag her out the building. I said, please don't tell me that they had to drag this black woman from Trump's White House that victims of slavery built. Come on, show some self-respect. And one of the things that may have contributed to her being fired was that she got married, apparently, and she brought 39 guests to the White House to take pictures in the Rose Garden, and she didn't get anybody's permission. Now, I kind of find that hard to believe. I don't know how you get 39 people on White House grounds without somebody clearing it. I don't know if she had that kind of power to get those people in there, but that was one of the things that was cited. All right, last thing that I want to say, talk about, there's this false narrative about the special election in Alabama that black women won the election for Doug Jones, who was running against Roy Moore. You can look at it that way, or you can look at it the right way, which shows that Roy Moore lost by just over 1% the last I checked. At 0.5%, he could demand a recall. So the man barely, Doug Jones, barely won that election. And there was higher than expected black voter turnout in Alabama. They weren't expecting that many. It was higher than average. And actually, they ended up being the largest percentile of people who voted. You know, when you break it down by race and gender and all that good stuff, they were at about 28 to 30% when their percentile of the population of Alabama was only 26%. So they turned out in higher than average numbers. So you had, looking at the demographics, there are far more black women in Alabama than there are black men. So I expect more of them to turn out. All right. But make no mistake, if black men did not turn out in the numbers that they turned out, this man barely won. If a percentage and a half was lower of either black women or black men, let's just say black people together, because that's the way I would want to look at it, then he would have lost to Roy Moore, and we'd be talking about Senator Roy Moore. So what I'm trying to tell you is don't be buying into what I see is a political agenda to separate the black woman from the black man, to drive a wedge between us, okay, to where we're in competition with one another instead of being down together, which the black voters who did turn out They were together. They voted all in a voting block. And Malcolm X predicted this. He said that when the black voting block sticks together, the white voting block is evenly divided. And whoever the black voting block that sticks together votes for, that's who goes to the White House and the other person goes to the doghouse. Now, I know y'all might be thinking, well, Hillary Clinton didn't win. Well, a lot of us was not going to vote for Hillary Clinton being the criminal that she is, being the immoral person who called black children and brown children super predators, who laughed like a hyena upon hearing about the murder of Muammar Gaddafi, the leader of an African nation that was trying to lift all African boats. Some of us, she was a terrible candidate with a lot of baggage. So it didn't work out so much there. All right. So anyway, that's what I want to say. Let's not buy into this narrative where we're finding ourselves as black men pitted against black women, or black women pitted against black men. And that, to me, that's what they seek to do. And it was awful funny that when I tried to track down the source of this trend on Twitter, it was trending black women. The sort who, you know, who got that started? A white woman, a white writer who wrote an article in The Independent, which is a UK-based paper, and she wrote that article seeking to give black women all the credit. And like I'm trying to say, if you're going to tell me Black Lives Matter, then, especially if you're a black person, don't be acting like black men don't matter. Don't act like we are invisible. We're supposed to be in this struggle together, and we need to reject these outside forces that's trying to split us, all right? And I'm only talking to people who vote. I understand all of us don't believe in voting, and that's okay. So I'm talking to those who vote, all right? And voting matters more on the local level than it does in who you send to Washington, D.C. I'm not saying that don't matter, okay? But I'm saying locally it matters more. Especially if you got a predominant black town, there's no way in the world we should be seeing another Ferguson where you have black voters outnumbering everybody else, but then you get an all-white city government. And we saw what they did to black folks in Ferguson. So don't, you know, I'm a firm believer that if voting didn't matter, they wouldn't try to take it away from, they would not take it away from you. All right. So shout out to all of those out there who are victims of prison slavery. There are those who are trying to get all your rights restored, including the right to bear arms. All right, that is it for our news of the day. We are going to turn it over to Brother Davis for Wise Wednesday.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is a good opportunity to say thank you, Scotty, for laying it out there.
You're welcome, sir. And just to let you know,
I'm
Brother
getting a little
Davis.
Echo, but I really want everybody to pay attention tonight, because guess what? I mean, it's going to be good, but tonight is going to be on the phenomenon of the winter solstice. Why do I say phenomenon? Because a lot of people look at it in many different ways. It has epic effect on each individual person, because it is a cosmological event, and we are cosmological beings. It's going to affect your body. Actually, it affects many people in many different ways. But just to give you a little clarity, the winter inspires both joy and woe. And in the old Farmer's Almanac, we fully consign to the statement that the season may bring party and merriment, but it also brings stress. We often find ourselves burning the candles at both ends, trying to get gifts for everyone on our list and finish extra works and be ready to stick and go on vacation for that period of time. Another reason why it may be stressful is the days are shorter and therefore gloomier. But after the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, meaning we'll experience the longest sunlight for the 24-hour period, and they begin to get longer again. So literally, there's a rotation taking place in the world on its axis. And at this point, the sun is at its furthest point north. And therefore, the globe, as so-called said, is at its furthest lean on its axis. And that's what the physiological expression of winter solstice is. Now, as we examine it closely, we find it has many, many variables. Traditionally, winter solstice, sometimes called Yule in pagan and Wiccan traditions, has marked a time of spiritual rebirth coming together with communities, which is why we see many cultures and religions celebrating holidays around this time of year. This is a time of year when nature itself invites us to really accept ourselves so we can grow and cleanse and prepare for personal growth. Seers of the old ways would tell you this is beginning your time of hibernation, because that's actually, it's called the hibernal solstice. That's why bears and things in their natural order hibernate during this time of year. Interesting, isn't it? How everything seems to come back to the cosmology of the universe. And you've heard me speak before about how we are all connected and how we're connected in this universe. Well, one of the reasons why I really wanted to pick on the winter solstice was because I wanted you to see just how connected you are. And the sad part about it is that, you know, we really don't hear a lot about this here in Westernism. And you ever ask yourself why? What is it about this knowledge that they really don't want you to know? Every major monument that has been built since the beginning of time has some reflection of cosmology in its construction. Most who have traveled to Stonehenge in any year, they do try to visit the site early in the morning, to which the sun rises above the stones. But sunset at Stonehenge is also popular too. It is as though that winter solstice was actually more important to the people who constructed Stonehenge than summer solstice. That's an interesting fact. There are times of the year that are more important to different cultures than at other times of the year. And a lot of times, we don't really grasp what is happening to our bodies. But from the 17th of December to the 21st, which is the first day of the winter solstice, we will be bombarded. Our bodies will be bombarded. And the winter solstice literally means that the worlds can commune with each other. Now, what is commune with each other? It means they can communicate. More things that have happened during that four-day period is the reason why you're open and receptive, is because that is the time of identification, self-evaluation. Those things that you look back at the past year and see that you've accomplished or did not accomplish. So therefore, you are open and receptive to the transitions of cosmology that your body naturally goes through. You see, you do have a spirit in that temple of yours, and it's required that you take care of your temple, because if your temple stays in alignment with the universe, literally, you are designed to see hundreds of years. What stops that process is, as I said before, your habits. And a lot of people don't even see their habits because they are so habitual. When I say they're so habitual, say a person likes something simple. Cake. Donuts. You know, people go to work all the time. They grab a donut or two and a cup of coffee. You know what I mean? And you don't think about it, but that is going to have long-term effect. Okay? And when they're going through that process, their body is beginning to age, and then they start blaming it on things. That's what's just another habit. Oh, I'm just getting a little older now. I'm putting on a little weight. see, they're not looking at what they're consuming and why they're putting on the weight, because they already have a built-in reason, a rationale for that. But as they begin to age and begin to really see, I got to do something. They'll say that for a number of years too. Yeah, I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna start tomorrow. You hear that old concept of a New Year's Eve, how everybody starts going out to the gyms and everything, and then after about the first of January, the 31st of January, all of a sudden the gym membership drops off, and that new group of friends no longer as close as they used to be. You see, this is what makes this time of year, right now, so important. It's everything you've done in the past year. Think about it. If you didn't accomplish your goals, or if you did accomplish your goals, if you didn't receive that special thing you wanted to do or get, well, you did. And really, at this time of year, it only comes into a column if you're serious about yourself. Once again, it comes back to responsibility. We have to be responsible. And I can sit down and say, well, this year I was able to accomplish this, and I was able to accomplish that, and we kind of did this, and we kind of did that. This is not a personal conversation. This is a conversation that everyone should be having with themselves. Because the reason why a lot of us are in the situations we are is because we don't want to look at ourselves. We don't want to examine. And every religion tells you to examine yourself daily. Everyone. But in most cases, people only join those religions in order to fit in, to be a part of. See, that actually was the mantra of what I said before, plus a Pharisaic period. And we're evolving now. We are changing. And all of these things that you see right now are just becoming more revealing. Perfect example is what's going on in politics. You've got people leaving because of one time or another, their sexual transgressions are being reflected. And now they're sitting back saying, well, that was then, but we are responsible for ourselves. That is the main message that people should get, but they won't. You know why? Because the message will be distorted. The message will make it look like this person's this way and that person's that way. That may not be who they were, but even you, because we are human, have weaknesses. And since we're not infallible, we are subject to be victimized by them weaknesses. And even in those areas of religion where those people would like you to think they're infallible, you must remember that they're human. This is why we must pay attention to things like the winter solstice. We must take time and look at our lives, look at our children, talk to them. Oh, this year was kind of rough on us. Grandma died, and now Pop lives upstairs because we got to keep an eye on him. See, you never know the effects or the transitions of the year. This is why it is so important that we become the examples. And if you're not doing it, the people who use you as the example aren't going to do it either. It doesn't serve a purpose to them. Because you were the example for them, and if it didn't serve a purpose to you, it's really not going to serve a purpose to them. And the best part about this is that we could literally see what we do in our children if we observe them even half as much as they observe us. Why do I say half as much? Because they see that we have, our focus may be on doing the things that give them a quality of life. But then when they turn around and say, well, what did you do for you? And you say, oh, well, you know, don't worry about me, I did it for you. No. The child is trying to understand the teaching. And you must be able to teach your child that it's important for you to see what you're doing for you so that you can evaluate yourself properly. Okay? What is your diet like? Are they eating the right foods? Are they getting a little heavy? Or maybe the media, influence of media are changing them and they don't see it. but you do. This is why this concept with the Winter Solstice is so important. And I haven't even opened the door spiritually. Because right now, going through this period up to the Winter Solstice, remember when I told you when you are open? Yeah, you're open to the most, what should I say, pervasive and the most inclusive. Inclusive are those things that literally go on that are part of your environment that you really don't pay much attention to. You may have noticed it before, but you just see any big deal about it. But it's affecting you. And the pervasive are the things you go out your way to avoid. Such as, perfect example, right now we have an opioid epidemic. So people are going out their way to examine the fact, am I taking a pain pill? What am I taking the pain pill for? Is there any alternative? Because, see, they have become focused on what they don't. They don't want to be a part of that. They don't want the destruction of that. But then some people embrace it. It's just an habit to them. And they don't see the destructive nature of it because they may enjoy it. You see, a lot of people hate to hear the truth of the reason why there's evil is because some people like evil. Think about that for a minute. I once said to a devout Christian, I said, do you know, just like you're striving to get into heaven, there are people who are striving to get into hell. And a brother looked at me and said, oh man, you shouldn't say that. But if it's the truth, why can't you accept it? And he looked at me and he said, you know, I never thought about it. I said, you wouldn't. Because you're looking at the coin from the side that the sign is to you. And that's fine. I'm not critical of it. But in reality, just like there is a sun, there's a moon. Sun is out during the daylight hours, and the moon is out during the night. The only difference is, during the daylight hours, the sun adds to what it comes in contact with. And at night, the moon shows you what you could not see when the moon was not out. Now, it has a greater purpose than that, but the concept of the idea is how I've interpreted it. Now, of course, it has a functional part. There's a lot of things that go along with the nocturnalness of the world, meaning after dark and that sort of thing. And that's fine, because that's a part of the cosmological structure. But we must learn these things because guess what? Everything synthetic is killing us. Let me repeat that because some of you don't want to accept it. And that's understandable. But everything synthetic is killing us. Oh, it might relieve your headache for a while. But if relieving your headache for the next 5 years is going to lead to a digestive problem, because of the chemicals effect on another part of your body, you got to ask yourself, what was the alternative? And if you're going through that now, you have to ask yourself, what is the alternative? Because there is one. It's just that society in Westernism teaches us to depend on it. It takes away our responsibility to depend on ourselves. So when I say depend on it, if you had to get up in the morning and you had to make a fire, you had to go out and get the wood either the morning or the night before. You see, you had to prepare. There's something that was required of you. But since electricity came along, all you got to do now is hit a switch. And as it got more modern, you didn't have to hit a switch. You could put the switch on the timer and the heat would just produce itself. But then let's look at the heat, the quality of the heat, what it does to your body. You see, when wood was burning, you could smell the wood. It stimulated different parts of your body. And although a lot of people don't know this, there are certain things in the air called particles. And these particles that come from the burning of wood literally adds to the mineral content of your body. And a lot of times, we never realize the value. Now, we are growing to understand it. One of the things I want to point out to you is that you are always in a position of control. In spite of what somebody may tell you, in spite of what they might want you to think, you are always in the position of control. So if you don't want to drink water, you don't have to drink that water. But if you understood the purpose the water shows and does in your body, then consuming the water is an act of joy. Because, see, now you're beginning to understand the parallels of knowledge and lack of knowledge. And see, this is what we're moving to, regardless whether you think you don't want to or not. But everything that's being revealed now, it's only going to be more revealed. Because, now listen, in the political realm, all these people that are leaving office and not being elected in office now are because of their behavior patterns, but you got a president that is on tape telling you he does the very thing that these other people are leaving offices behind. So it's a matter of time before it catches up with him. And when it does, he'll go a similar process. Will it be the same way? Well, you know, he goes out fighting. He'll go so negative in the manner in which he does it. He's still going to do it. It's just his nature. And listen, we can't look at it from the standpoint of it doesn't serve anybody, because guess what? He thinks it serves him. You heard Scotty talk about war. Do you realize that right now, if war broke out anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, no, maybe 3% of America would be surprised. But anybody who keeps effect or abreast of the media the way it's conveyed on a daily basis would not be surprised. Why? Because they use fear. And if they use fear, they want to leverage that fear for a reason. That's one of the reasons why they had all that hoopla about the patriotism with Brother Kaepernick. He already stated what he was voting for, but yet they twisted it. Why did they twist it? Because once again, they're operating in a realm of deception. So they know, just like we know. They hear, just like we hear. Now, whether they want to accept the truth, that's a different concept altogether. Because, see, sometimes, as I said before, people choose hell. That may not appear to be hell at the time they choose it. But over a period of time, they know what their choice is going to result in. And they're willing to accept that. And see, that's what we have to understand. We have to understand the importance of our decisions and what it's going to result in. Brother Scotty spoke about today the lack of black media services to bring us news. He even spoke about TV1, and they're no longer carrying news. Think about that for a minute. What if somebody was telling you to lie and lie? And every day, I want you to tell a lie. Would it be easier for you to say, you know what, I'm not going to do this and not convey anything? Or do you continue to lie? I know it's a different perspective or way of looking at it, but I'm trying to see this here from the standpoint of at least Kathy Hughes making a decision that would better serve her people than to just submit to being a habitual liar. Which comes down to us again as individuals making decisions, because we still have, as Scotty said, you still have the Black Agenda Report. You still have a few other services out there that are available. And I'm not sure if there's another brother who does a regular show who has a whole agenda on what's happening to black people in every state. I can't even think of it off the top of my head. But there are information out there that we have to support if we want to get the proper information. If not, we will be settling for the lie. So as we move into this winter solstice and we get to evaluating ourselves, let us not cheat ourselves. Because when we cheat ourselves, we lie to ourselves. And if we can't accept the truth of what is going on with us as just one individual, if you can't accept the truth of what is going on with you, how can you convey what you say to be of help to someone else if they're going to follow you? See, that's what's so important about this time of year, the winter solstice. And I haven't even gotten to the spiritual concept of it, because I'm going to tell you, on the spiritual side, this is a time when you prep for the new year. This is a time when you take all your prayer time and your meditation time and you focus solely on you. Solely on you. Why? Because you are going to be the fulcrum of your own change. You are going to be the ideal. You are going to be the perpetuator of your own ideas. And what is so important about that is that as you map your route, it is easy to follow if you have a chart. Do you realize that there are certain religions that right now are preparing themselves that from the moment of the winter solstice celebration is over, they're preparing for the spring of next year. They're preparing themselves mentally, physically, and spiritually, because not only of what they want from the spring, but what they may have to go through to get to the spring. Because you know winter's not over. You know politics is not going to stop. You know it. As they talk every day, you're on the verge of war. War is never going to be a solution. Destruction is never going to be a solution. Look around you. You heard Brother Scotty talk about Brother Gaddafi. Now, Brother Gaddafi was on the right road. I think Brother Gaddafi's pitfall was he got more vocal about what he was doing instead of just doing it quietly and then exposing it after it was done. Because, see, now, since his demise, the whole country has been in a disarray. See, that's why it's so important. The visionary of that country who kept it together, who foreseen bringing the whole continent under one monetary system backed by gold, was eliminated for just that. Why? Because it eliminated the deception. You see, we want to believe that what we do is for democracy and what other people want. But if you went to most countries and you asked them, is America serving the purpose of your country? Or would you want Americans out? We wouldn't be in no country. That's just being honest. Because in every country, we come in under the skies of deception. We come in, we bring missionaries. Then the missionaries, they come in, they bring merchandise that people were not available to before. And then when the merchandise comes in, the protection of the merchandise. And then the protection of the merchandise turns into the military. And before you know it, we expect them to follow their law, our laws. This is how they do it. And this is just what happened to your mind. See, when we were born under the tyranny of a history that was forced upon us. It was our natural history. We were forced to emulate people who had nothing to do with us. Instead, I said, we were forced to emulate. So we're still trying to find ourselves. And that's why it's so important for us, first of all, to be honest with ourselves. Change is going to come. Whether you live to see it or not, it's going to come. But we got to be a part of that change if we want the best for our children. Because guess what? When you were born, the very parents that you had, you looked upon them as being around forever. And they served you that way. And they were the idea of example for you. But then that day comes as you age when they're no longer there for you. And you become the person in your parents' position. This is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday. We're coming up on a break. I gave you a breakdown of the summer solstice. I'm giving you a breakdown on how it's going to affect us and what we need to do as individuals. And I also tried to give you a breakdown and understand that you are still in control, regardless, although we are going to be victimized. Or as I said, we are going to be a part of the cosmetic changes that are going on, the cosmological changes that are going on in the earth. But that's a good thing. And I'm going to tell you why when we get back. This is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday. We're coming up on a break, and look, call me up. minutes of monologue instead of just a dialogue, because I have a lot of information I want to give you to prepare you for going in to the new year after this so-called season. But that's all it is.
You're listening to Tando Radio Show. The telephone number is 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. Hit star on your keypad and we'll bring you right up. You're listening to the Tando Radio Show. It's Wise Wednesday with Brother Davis.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
In Latin, solstice means sunset still, and winter solstice is the greatest stillness before the sun strengthens and builds, and days grow longer. In ancient times, and in the some days, the darkness itself is the spiritual cradle into which the sun is reborn. But that's a unique statement, because it speaks a lot about humans. It speaks a lot about the universe and how we depend on that sun. And think about it. Every living thing in the world depends on that sun. And that's why people celebrate the winter solstice. I already spoke about it being the longest night. It falls on December 21st toward the 22nd in the Northern Hemisphere. And summer solstice falls on June 21st or June 22nd in the Southern Hemisphere. Since ancient times, people all over the world have recognized the importance of astrological occurrences and celebrate the sequential return of the sun in a variety of different ways. Now, people all over the world. So I want to point that out, because I want you to see we're not any different. We play an important role in this. And the best part about that role is personal. And we have to see it being that way. Because if we don't, we can literally get tripped up. Celebrating winter solstice has been celebrated by cultures all over the world for thousands of years. It starts in the solar year, the celebration of lights and the rebirth of the sun. In old Europe, it was known as Yule, from the Norse, July, meaning wheel. Now, that means even although Europeans were not the cradle of civilization, they celebrated. There were traditions, customs, and celebrations, rituals, and simple Mother Earth embracement during this time. One of the things that I find to be unique is that they talk about the magic history of the Yule. The pagan winter solstice was a celebration. The celebration of the witches in the winter, the celebration of the wicked. These are different religions, the celebration of the Christians, the celebration of the Muslims, the celebrations. Every religion or culture celebrated this time of year, even if they had no connection with the other culture's identification or how they celebrated. The ways of celebration of winter solstice are readily, rhythmically played. Now, that's a powerful statement. Because you have to understand, it's a universal law of sound and vibration. So it talks about them being rhythmatically played. So there is definitely a connection that has to deal with each one of us. You know how you hear a sound and just breaks the silence, and you know it's different, but yet it affects you. And then you hear a rhythm that's soothing to you, and it literally relaxes you. You see, it has sound and vibration has a direct effect on your emotions. See, that's why you must be able to learn to control your emotions. When you can control your emotions, you have greater control over yourself, because then you don't allow your emotions to control you. Many of the celebrations involve dance. You see, dance is an active part of the physical body participation. Now, these dances, it goes a realm of different dances. I can't even name the different countries that, because of the country they're in, the dance that's celebrated. To give you an idea, Brazil is the samba. In Cuba, it's something else. I'm trying to put all this here in line together here, but it's all about the rhythms, the drums, the instruments, and the effect on people. One of the things I want you to understand is that the winter solstice represents the goddess concept. And a lot of people, when you say the goddess concept, women look at it being a personal connection. But the cultures around the world have celebrated the winter solstice, and each the gods tried a manner of ways to persuade or perceive goddess. The winter solstice and the goddess Faraya is a goddess gift. The solstice goddess Faraya is a Yule goddess, and other mythologies of the season. So there are many, many aspects of celebration. Some even celebrate the deepness of the darkness of the winter. The winter solstice, we research the depths of that darkness with the longest night of the year. Darkness has reached its peak now, and we start to wade. That means that the darkness has reached as high as long as length of the day. And from that day forward, the darkness gets shorter and shorter, and the brightness gets longer and longer. So there's a lot of significance here. It talks about the sun being reborn, the simple ways of cleansing the winter. Cleansing the winter. From time to time, the people's consciousness has no idea what is going on, how the energies are being transferred, how there seems to be a confusion, but there is no confusion. There's organization. There's organization of the cosmological, spiritual nature of human beings recollecting themselves for the coming of the new year. That's powerful. Deities of winter, the druids. The druids talk about no matter which path you follow, chances are good that one of your gods or goddesses has a winter solstice connection. So therefore, all of us, once again, cycle goes incomplete. It goes complete where we are connected with the universe. Plants and animals that hibernate during this time of year are in a time of rebirth. When they come out of their season, they will come out bearing the young of its experience, of its time of birth and hibernation. It's interesting. That goes into talking about the Greeks and the Romans and the Hebrews. And we really don't have to examine all of those unless you want to. The information is out there. And it is our responsibility to learn more about what is suitable for us. Why? Because we must operate in that. Knowledge is power, so to be able to go in different circles and converse about things like from the Greek perspective or the Hebrew perspective or the Roman, those are good things. Don't get me wrong. And I don't want to misconstrue how I'm going to say this, but yesterday's election, There were a lot of people were saying, well, they need to get out the black vote, the black vote. Well, each individual had to take the time and organize their day to make sure they can get out there and make that vote count. And it decided, it determined what they thought was good and what they thought was bad. They knew that evil was in the mix. Evil was always in the mix. Why? Because anywhere there's good, there's evil. Make no mistake. Just like you could look at a woman and say, you know what? She's a beautiful today. It's a beautiful day. She looks gorgeous. You can look at her and say, today's a beautiful day, and that she fills that sundress out. You see? It's the concept that plays a greater role. That's why we must work on ourselves. A lot of times we fail to realize the importance of how we perceive what we see. I had a note. He used to, when I was younger, I'd be in the car where he'd pick up my Aunt Marion. He'd be out in front of her job, and when an attractive woman come out, he would say, mercy, mercy, mercy. And when an unattractive woman came out, he'd just smile. So being young, I asked him, why do you say mercy, mercy, mercy? He said, oh, it's just a figure of speech. But over a period of time as a child, I picked up the fact that every time he said it, who he was looking at and what he was saying, then I realized that he was saying it to certain women. I had to understand the perception. You see, I had to understand when I was a child that he was the example. Now, he wasn't a bad example. That was just something I picked up from observation. And I've put that out there so you understand that you are being observed. And they're going to pick up things that you may not want them to pick up. But if it's what we're doing, oh, so be it. So we must focus on us. We must focus on ourselves. Another thing I wanted to point out was Brother Scotty talked about the military. He served in the military. I served in the military, too. But we had the knowledge then that we have now. We would have never made those decisions. Think about it. And the reality is, people make decisions every day that they wouldn't ordinarily make if there was not some sort of flexibility being leveraged on them. And a lot of times, it ain't flexibility that they can't handle. It's just flexibility that they really don't want to deal with. So they give away the power. We have to stop giving away our power. That is the main issue of taking control of oneself, to be able to operate and exercise in their own power. A lot of times, we as a black people, we see that we have the talent and the potential, but we don't operate in it. And a perfect example of that is the civil rights movement. Before the civil rights movement, for those of you who don't remember, we had stores, movie theaters, we had bus stops, we had cabs, we had, in our neighborhood, all the stores were owned by our people. All of them. Everybody had a tab. You know why? Because everybody knew each other. We were brought up in a circumference of love that was just, we just thought everybody was brought up that way. We was brought up in such a circumference of love that we didn't even know what rich and poor was about because we thought we were rich. I mean, we didn't have much, but it didn't matter. You know why? Because we had each other. And we loved what we did and who we were doing it with. It's a different time we live in now. You know why? Because we have moved so far away from our understanding that now as we approach going back to our understanding, we approach the opportunities we missed. Because after the Civil Rights Movement, black people started taking their money to white people and stopped giving it to black people. And those neighborhood stores began to feel that wrath. And when white people got that money, they began to say, I want more of this. And they started putting grocery stores close enough so that we can go to them with a greater selection to lure us to them because they have more product. They can give us a better price, catching us like fish. And we were caught. And we went. And those very stores that we used to take care of us started disappearing. And we didn't see that this was part of a very, very diabolical plan. But now we do. I only point that out to you because I want you to understand, I'm not talking about something that we cannot accomplish, we cannot achieve. I'm talking about things that we've always done. It's always been a part of us. It's just that we have been lured into a state of program. And we, even when we think, we are thinking in reference to the program. I can't tell you how many times people walk up to me and say, "Yo, brother, you got that kufi on and all that African gear, man, and you, that ain't American." I mean, think about that. Because I don't present myself as they present themselves, I'm not American. But yet I'm trying to find myself in all of this here quagmire. And yet I'm deviant to many because I'm different. Not that I'm any different physically, but my thought process is trying to move me to where we once were. So my research seeks out those things that offer me an avenue to be able to operate in the realm of which I live as the person I am. So if I come into an office and go to work, and I got a dasiki and beads on, the first thing they're going to do is approach me and say, "You know what, man? That's not fitting attire. And this is not out of the norm. This is not unusual. This is happening today." I'm quite sure you heard about, they don't want black women wearing dreadlocks. Think about that for a minute. They don't want you to be who you are. We want you to be like us, so we don't have to fear you. But yet, your propaganda is designed to make you fear what isn't you. One of the favorites of mine is when I see people who are really trying to fit in, and then the reality slaps them in the face, because I don't say nothing. All I do is look, and you can see they can't hide it, because it's just so staunch that even if they try to hide it, it shows. It shows in a whole lot of ways. I remember one time there was a white guy where I worked at. I worked at a military base when I first got there. I thought I'd be able to make it in the system the way the system was designed. And he was having a barbecue, and he went around inviting people to the barbecue, and he came over and he invited me. I said, "Yeah, well, I'll be there." So my brother came over to me about the end of the day, and he said, "Yo, Mr. Davis," said, "the Robinsons got a barbecue this weekend. Did you know that?" I said, "Yeah, I know. I'm invited." He changed immediately. And I mean, you know how you get that look on your face? Like, what? Because, see, I was the type of person, I kind of kept to myself. I always kept to myself. I mean, I could work within an environment with a group of people, but it wasn't like I was going to socialize. I mean, I could carry a conversation. I was into that whole concept of fan and football and sports. And so I was relatively communal. Well, very, very, very communicable. And this guy had a look on his face like, "I wonder why he didn't tell me." And I didn't say a word. So the very next day, another one of my coworkers came in and he said, "Man, you know, so-and-so took that hard because he wasn't invited to the barbecue." See, I can believe that. I didn't tell him what I'd seen the night before, but I could see he was totally distraught. Because, see, he thought he fit in. See, every time you go out your way to be something you're not, they will bring it to your attention in their own way at their own time. And we can avoid that by just being able to focus on who we are and build on that. Why? Because then they begin to realize, even if I'm not invited to your affair, that's acceptable. That's totally acceptable. I'm not even going to be offended by it. I'm going to tell you, I got a funny diet. You know, people are there, "Well, you want to come here? I got a funny diet, man. I don't just eat anything, and I'm a vegetarian, so I basically eat the vegetables." And a lot of places, they make food that's, in my head, some things that I'm not interested in. But look, have a good time, you know what I mean? But some people are offended by that. But why? It's their choice. I don't bother me. And see, that's the type of control we have to take in our lives. We have to focus on ourselves, because the window that we look through is starting to change. But see, in reality, it's starting to look like you. That's why they use terms that you see. You don't see the expansion. They call you a minority. But you're not the minority. That's the deception. They tell you, well, you know, there's not as many of you, but there are more of you than them in the world. So therefore, if you think in terms of the window they try to put you in, you'll stay there. You think about it. When you went to school, you never got Black history unless it was brought to you in the manner that they wanted you to have it. And they never taught you about all the contributions that you made to this society. You had to do your own due diligence on that, because that's the deception. They don't want you to know that any time they invite you to compete, and the longer you're in there competing, sooner or later, you take over. They don't want you to know they know that. You realize the only reason why Black people were serving in the military were basically because they were dying off left and right, and then when they really came to the idea of the type of warriors you could be, changed the dynamic. Y'all seen the Red Tail movie? They wouldn't let them Black men fly, let alone fly in the war. Then when they got them in the war, they wouldn't want them flying on important missions. But when they did, they were sought out by the white pilots. Listen, man, you guys, you don't go chasing off. You stay in the group. You keep us till you take care of us. You see, our value is much greater than we could ever begin to understand. That's why we have to tap into these things like the winter solstice, the summer solstice, the winter equinox, the summer equinox. These things have purpose and effect on our lives. And we have to learn and grow into them, and also learn and grow into the aspects that we don't know about them. What are those? The rituals of our people. How did we celebrate it? I mean, we understand that we were great farmers, ornamental horticulture. So if that is the case, then we had to have a direct connection with the cosmology, because guess what? For those of you who don't know, the Black Plague, which killed millions in Europe, you know how they stopped that? By getting African horticulturists and medicine men to come to Europe and investigate. And then when they found out what the problem was, they came back and they went through a process of bringing together herbs, leaves, spices. And they came up with a immune system and fortifier. And I won't even say immune system fortifier. I'd say it saved the whole aspect of civilization the way they knew it. And they got one statement depicted. They said, don't eat when you defecate. And literally, what had wiped so many people out for so many years was being able to die off due to this knowledge being passed, this knowledge and this medicine being passed and crossing countries. And before you know it, Black people, for those of you who don't know, were becoming very powerful in Europe. A lot of the castles had schools, powered schools of education. They were built by Black people. Or should I say they were engineered by Black people? You see, a lot of times we fail to realize the importance that the role we play, and how we are connected with something that is so great that literally most people cannot stand to be in its company for great periods of time, but we lived in unison. We are the children. And now the sun is having a rebirth, and we should be experiencing that same rebirth. And this celestial season is opportunity for you to grow in the understanding of just how you can improve who you are and what you're trying to achieve in the year to come. This is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday. I'm trying to give you some wisdom that you could tap into and become a tool for you to become greater than what you could believe you are. Because, see, we're still thinking through a Western mindset, a mindset. And the reason why is because that's how we brought up. Look at the educational system. All of this here was designed for us to fit in the mold that they were designing for us. But now, we come from a limitless mode. And that's a part of their fear of us. Now, they'll create these elaborate lies. And here's what they're doing. They're making their history our history. Oh, yeah. Black people, they kill, steal, kill, and destroy. Wait a minute. Think about it. They talk about Chicago being the death capital and all these. These guns have been come in by black people. Wake up, y'all. It's like opioids, this opioid epidemic. Opioids aren't being brought in by black people. Wake up, y'all. The sad part about it is that black people are being victimized by it because this system is built on such a great deception that a lot of our black people fall victim to those same illnesses, and they are criminals by their own standard. But yet, when white people fall into those, they're victims. They're sick. We gotta help these good white people, although they're doing drugs just like black people. But these is good white people. And these black people are criminals. Are y'all getting this here yet? Because I'm going to tell you something. The change is in the mix. The change is in the mix. Why? Because the change is in you. And as you begin to wake up, the change begins to wake up. And as the change begins to wake up, even that those who don't agree with you in anything are going to have to say, you're going to be right. You know, they're right. And they're standing now. They're just not saying it out loud. Some people, you know, they say, you know, I heard a white person say, I would never want to be black. But you know, it's a powerful statement. Warren Buffett says, you know, I live a life that I live for two reasons. One, I was born white. And two, I was born in a society in which that is a privilege. Think about that. This is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday. We're going to break. We're coming up to the last segment, y'all. In this last segment, I wouldn't mind getting at least one phone call so we can have a monologue instead of a dialogue. I'm quite sure all of you have had some experience with this winter solstice on some level, so I appreciate it if you just call and expose it to the audience so that everybody begins to realize they've had one too. And even if you don't talk about it, grow by it, because you're going to need that experience.
Black Talk Media Project launched the digital radio platform, Black Talk Radio Network, the first such platform created to serve the black community specifically. Black Talk Radio Network has grown with a variety of radio hosts, digital radio stations, and podcasters. Web analytics say Black Talk Radio, the platform, has an online reach that ranks it among the top independent black media platforms in the world. All of this is possible because of financial contributions to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you love the work we do and the voices and perspectives we bring to you every day, make a donation today to ensure that Black Talk Radio is here in the future. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Welcome, 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 my brothers and sisters. It's always good on a Wise Wednesday to me, because I'm going to tell you something. I love this. I love being able to have some time with you and talk about how we can be better, because sooner or later we're going to talk about what we're doing, and you're going to find out what people are doing all over the country. It has a lot to do with what you're doing. Why? Because you're going to start doing the same thing. You're going to start self-evaluating. You're going to start taking control of yourself. You're going to start taking control of your life. You're going to start leading in a manner in which is worthy of whom you are. And see, the sad part about it is that then you're also going to look back and say, wow, I let all that time get away. Don't do it in a resentful manner. I'm telling you now, because when you begin to really strive, you're going to think, well, I should have been doing this all the time. It's not unusual. But you are no different than anyone else when it comes to physiology of humans, of the human being. And then here's the great part. The blessings. The blessings of those. They will blow your mind. And always, when you least expect it, something happens that you didn't even know you had effect on. And it's like, it makes you feel so good. Because you know you're operating within the plan. Okay, so now we know that we're going to present ourselves to a new year. We know that we want to be able to be better next year. We know that we want to be able to tap into some of the sources that are going to help us achieve that, so that we can be the examples to our children and the leaders that step forth. So we got to look at what the tools that we're going to use and the tools we're going to need. And we got to be honest with ourselves, because guess what? Whenever we have to do something and we need a tool, we got to be able to turn around and get that tool or produce that tool. Okay? And let me be something very clear real quick, because this is going to be a tumultuous year, because money is a tool, and money is in a transformation period right now. You're going to get a lot of information about money. You know why? Because you're taking the power that money gave those people who were in power. Now, I say we're in power because I'm speaking this into being. Oh, yeah, many of you may still think they are in power right now, but it's shattering. And see, the one thing about the transitions of the astrological age, things follow the philosophy of that age. Even when you don't think it does, it does. And see, we're moving into the age of be to be. We're coming out of the age of inclusion, where you want to be a part of something to be included in it. No. That's a separate purpose. We fell under the realm of deception in there. And we're going to remove all of that deception. You know why? Because now we can be who we are. And we don't have to fit in to any circles. We don't have to fit in to any groups or any cliques. And we don't have to follow their rules to show ourselves approved or to be human. No, we don't. And here's the best part about it. Because we've chosen to be this way doesn't mean we're going to change and be anti-civil to each other. No, we don't have to. But that's the best part of transformation. Because while we are going through this process, we can still operate in the universal laws. We can still do the things that we're trying to achieve in our lives, and also be communal with community to community wherever we move. Our ancestors did it for years. You realize Africans traded all over the world and was greeted with the countries they traded with, because when they came to the shores, they didn't come to the shores with guns. They came to the shores with smiles. They came to the shores with merchandise, and they came to the shores of philosophy. And sometimes the joy of them getting together wasn't born to trade. They knew they were going to get good product because they've had it before. But it was sitting down and the meal was so festive. It was the transformation of knowledge that was so festive. It was to be able to sit back and say, you know, where Orion's belt is, and they look at you across and say, no, what is Orion's belt? And you tell them and they say, no, that's Samusa. But you say, Samusa, well, that's what they called it, where they came from. And this exchange of knowledge was transforming, because guess what? You were learning about each other and could even embrace each other more, because they were more like you than you suspected. That's why you see things like that reflect the African footprint on every continent of the world. Because these people came in peace. And see, that's another thing. They knew peace. You have to make it a point to find your peace. See, that's what makes meditation so important to me. And all the confusion that's going on in the world, I can go to my place of meditation, and before too long, I can settle in my place of peace and commune with an etheric being. What is an etheric being? That's the being that lives within you, your temple, that can come out when the door is open. And when you go into different levels of meditation, you free that spiritual being to step out of the condensing of time and space. Because see, that's what this temple is. This temple is limited to time and space. Okay? So there's certain things that you can do in the realm of time and space that you can't do, or you may not even consider doing in your spiritual realm. Why? Because you see limits here. And when your etheric being is free through meditation, there is no limit to where it can go when you grow to get it there. Understand how I said that? When you grow to get it there. That's why I speak about the place of peace. When you can get to your place of peace in meditation, then your heart, your body, everything is relaxed, and your will and your spirit are intact. They can't happen in dreamland. You know why? Because literally your wills, you have no control over your will when you dream. But when you meditate, your will is intact. So just that little bit of knowledge right there should tell you that if you're not limited to time and space, there is a whole world that you have not even begun to tap into yet. And it ain't easy getting there. Let me make that very clear. Because agitation is just the environment you're in. What is agitation? Agitation, when there's something going on to get your attention all the time. It may be meaningless. It may have no leverage on you, but it gets your attention. If it's a sound, if it's music. You ever walk into a room, go out in the street, you hear nothing but sound. There's things being bombarded to you. There's car sounds, there's bird sounds, there's people talking. Getting on the bus, there's a bunch of conversation. There's always something that adds to your atmosphere that actually doesn't agitate you. It agitates the atmosphere. Why? Because it keeps you from focusing on one thing. It's designed like that. Let me repeat it. It's designed like that. That keeps you from getting in touch with yourself. That keeps you from identifying that there is things different that you can do that outgrows the circumstance that you're in. That's why I want to hear all the stuff that's going on around me. It's bizarre. You don't think that the United States is supposed to be the most heavily armed country in the world? Bullying a country like North America, like North Korea, is bizarre? I mean, really, what can a small country that is not the size of, I don't think it's the size of the state of Delaware. Or it might be. It might be, but I don't think it is. But a country that small, what really are we allowing ourselves to get into when we as people cannot solve our differences other than killing each other? That's why it's so important for you to take your role. Take your role and grow. Because we can change this dynamic. But if you don't believe we can change this dynamic, you just make the work harder on us people who do. And we do believe that we can change this dynamic. Although a lot of you are probably thinking through those Western educations, and that's fine. Because guess what? Not everybody will survive this. I've said it many times. Is there someone in queue? We have to open our eyes to the things that we have that are available to us right now that we could tap into and make sure that are there for us. One of those things are Black Talk Radio. Another one of those things is the Black media in general. Because guess what? They're not going to give us the news that is most suitable for us to know. And the reason why they're not is because we become empowered. They will never empower their enemy. And if you don't think that we're enemies to them, look at your history. They treat you. They treat me like an enemy. Oh, you know, I wouldn't have did that. You forced me to do that. No. I didn't force you to do nothing. You chose to do this. But we have learned through Westernism that the deception is acceptable, and if you don't talk about it, then we don't have to be reminded that it's deception. Well, you don't have to talk about it. You look in the mirror every day and you get a reminder because of what you're trying to do if you ain't doing the right thing. Period. And if what you're doing is suitable for you, that's fine. I don't have time to judge it. Understand how I said that? I don't have time to judge it. It's not my responsibility anyway. I see people every day. I like to pull aside and say, yo, brother, you know what, man? I don't know you, but I love you. But I'm going to tell you something. Right there, that's going to kill you. It's going to kill you because your body cannot identify it. It's unnatural to your body. And now look at me and say, man, I paid $50 for this. That's the best I can do for that person's circumstance. Because they already have a rationale for why they're doing it. And it may not be drugs. It may be something entirely different. But if it's dangerous to the body and if it's a bad habit, it's going to kill it. It is going to kill it. I have a dear loved one I'm getting ready to bury this week or next week. And I'm going to tell you something. I remember this person as a child. And I know when I get there, a lot of people are going to look at me and say, wow, man. I don't even know what happened to you because I disappeared. Oh, yeah, I get out of an environment that's not edifying me. Matter of fact, when me and my wife first married, we moved the whole way across the country to get away because we had to build on us. But I know there's going to be people like, wow, I haven't seen you. Oh, I know. A lot of them will look at you and say, man, you sure ain't changed much. Oh, I know. Because I'm working on me. I'm working on me so that I can be a part of this transition that's coming, and I want to be used to the best advantage, and I may not have a choice. So I want to just be prepared, and that's what we got to do. We got to be prepared so that if we are called upon, we can do, without question, our very best. And even if we are not the lightning rod that makes the change, when we get done, we leave a legacy to those who watch and says, you know what? I've seen what can be done. And all I have to do is my best. And I believe I can see the impossible. And whatever stands before me, whatever that process is I got to do to get above, around, or beneath it, I will do, or I will find in the mix of my circumstance. And that's exactly what we're doing. We are building, and we are going to find in the midst of our circumstances that what we need is us. Believe me, these people out here now are taking your tax dollars and they're constructing things against you. I mean, a perfect example of that is they want to call people from a foreign country terrorists, but they don't want to call the people right here in the country terrorists. But yet the people in the country are being terrorized by these very same people. Wake up, y'all, because it's going to get real interesting. Real interesting. This is Brother Davis, and I'm trying to lay it out there as clearly as I can, because I'm going to tell you something. Regardless of what I say, I can't stop this. Let me repeat. Regardless of what I say, I can't stop this, but I can prepare for it. That's right. I can eat right. I can drink the right foods. I can exercise. I can prepare my mind and my body. I can meditate. I can go to far-off lands and learn things I could have never learned in this realm and come back and bring those as tools in every circumstance that I'm faced with. But I got to constantly stay on myself. I got to demand from myself. when I get out here, I start jogging. And I'm going to tell you something, it's not easy. It's not easy. I'm 64 years old. I can jog, listen, y'all, I can jog nonstop for a mile. A mile. Now, that might not seem much to be a lot of people. But when I started this journey, I could not do a mile. Believe me, a quarter mile was rough, very rough. But if you don't start, you'll never, never reach your goals. And I tell you this because I want you to understand, it ain't going to be easy, but you got to start. You ain't going to know it all in the beginning, but you got to try. And along the way, the tools you get, you got to learn how to work those tools, because those will be the very tools you need to be able to climb the mountains you're trying to get over. And guess what? When you do, the view is always better from the top. And we can get there. We may not all get there together, like Brother Martin Luther King said, we may not all get there together. And he was right. And he said that knowing that he was going to be killed. But he definitely lets you know that we can get to the mountaintop. He said, I don't know when. But y'all know the speech. Y'all know the words. But we're going to get to the mountaintop. And I'm going to tell you, it's closer now than it has ever been. We are moving into the season of B2B and leaving the time of I fit in. And believe me, it's in. You know, that's like the concept of leaving the land of no can do and entering the garden of yes we can. I'm trying to add a little humor to the end of the show. We're coming up on the last bit. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday, and I'm going to tell you, this is always a highlight in my week just to have some time with you, because I'm going to jump back into my schedule. Because I'm going to tell you something. My responsibility is to help and not to hinder. To stretch out my arm to hand, to lift, bend, or help create as best I can. Because I want somebody to be out there to do that if I'm not around. And there's a lot of us doing it. And you can do it too. What I want you to understand is nothing is beyond the realm of possibility. Once again, we must consider we're going to need Black Talk Radio. We're going to need Black media, and it's our responsibility to make sure that it hangs around. How do we do that? We give our contributions. This is holiday season. You know, you get a tax write-off for contributions, and if you didn't know, you do. So if you're going into tax shit season and you might be behind, you can write off 2, 3, 4, 5, and you can put 100,000, 10,000, anything you want to do behind those numbers. I'm just giving you some numbers, because I don't want you to think there's anything that can't help. See, so if that 2, 3, 4, 5 is dollars, we'll take it. You know why? Because we want this to be around. We want this to be around. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to make a contribution to Black Talk Radio as a end-of-year tax write-off. Why? Because it is available to me. I have the right, and it serves our purpose. This is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday, giving everybody an opportunity to call in, everybody an opportunity to speak, everybody an opportunity to vest their opinion. If you chose not to do it tonight, I ain't mad at you, because I ain't here because of your duty. I'm here because I love you. This is Brother Davis on a Wednesday, Wise Wednesday, on Black Talk Radio, brought to you by Tando. And I hope I added something to your life. Scotty, back to you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother Davis. I'm here. Thank you, Brother
Davis. Not a problem.
Okay. We're getting ready to wrap it up. Coming up at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, it's New Abolitionist Radio. Make sure you keep it locked for that. I just got an update. Mind, Body, and Spirit is off, as both the ladies are suffering from a cold. And so just send out them healing vibes to Sister Feather Light as well as Sister Black Rose. So Mind, Body, and Spirit has been canceled for tonight. I do not see Brother Braggs on the board, so we are going to go ahead and close out. Again, Dave is off this week, so there will be no Tando nor on Thursday or Friday. Look for him to be back next week. All right, thank you for tuning in, and remember to support independent black media.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.